High fly ball, left field. Martinez. And that ball is over the wall, a home run. A two-run shot for Sanchez, and it is 4-0 Yankees.
Got that sound.
Yeah, all of a sudden he picked up Martinez like, wait a minute, maybe it's not going. He doesn't know where it is either.
You think Martinez just playing games there or really didn't see it?
I don't think there's any games to be played. He had that look of, I have no idea where this ball is.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from Star Market Broadcast Studio at TD Garden. If you don't mind, Zol, I'd like to get quickly to an email of the day.
Sure.
Let's do that.
We got some good ones.
Email of the day.
I'm laughing already. At this
I'm laughing show. At a couple, too. Go ahead.
It's from Phil in Alabama.
I love these.
By the way, the email game has been picking up as baseball season has begun. I feel like we get a lot of emails from our baseball listeners. I don't know if it's because they're a little bit deeper in the average listener age range. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I like it. So much better than getting a crappy tweet or something. Here we go. From Phil in Alabama. Was anybody else legitimately bothered by Kelly's chest? Is, of course, being Joe Kelly last night when his shirt got ripped open. He looks like a Ken doll under that shirt.
Hot.
Plus, I don't think he has nipples either. His shirt was pulled apart pretty good.
Come on.
And all I saw was a shiny, undefined slab of flesh.
Yeah. See, Bledsoe always had that problem with lifting weights to where his shoulders would never get big, but his chest was flat.
He says.
And his nipples end up being on the side of his chest.
It was
like
amplified.
On his arm.
It was amplified by the loss of his glasses. But it was the creepiest thing I've seen in a while. Phil in Alabama. I don't know why I found that email so funny.
Sure, he has nipples. As a matter of fact, I think we should send someone down there to try and milk them, just to prove.
Yes. Email of the day.
Jim's got it up again here, the fight. I'm trying to make the determination whether Joe Kelly is nippleless or not.
You do that. Hardy, talk to me about the first inning last night.
I'm sure he has nipples. My favorite part of it, honestly, was J.D. Martinez, arms spread apart. What happened? Where is it? I have no idea where this ball is. Is it going to hit me? You could tell the slight panic. Is it going to hit me in the head? Is it going to drop right next to me? Is it going to drop in front of me? Is it going to drop behind me? And the explanation on the broadcast last night was he lost it in the twilight, which I thought was a really nice poetic explanation of what happened, why J.D. Martinez was unable to pick up that ball. I mean, it went up like a rocket. I mean, it was It was really high. Too high, too hard. Too hard and too high. Whatever the reason, I understand sometimes you lose a ball in the lights or in the sun, but he had no clue.
Twilight at Fenway is tough.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's been the case for years.
Okay.
And right now, at the start of the game, is when you have it. So that'll get later, you know, later into the game as the months go on. And the days get longer.
Okay,
it's a real thing. The twilight is a real thing.
All right, so you're defending him losing the ball in the twilight. Okay,
I am.
All right,
I am. The twilight has gotten a lot of. Here's the thing, J.D. Martinez is not a good outfielder.
He's bad to begin with.
That twilight has gotten a lot of really good outfielders over the years. So I'll let him off the hook.
And a grand slam later in the game. This is what we've been waiting for. That is two games in a row where he has found that deep portion of the field. I mean, that's impressive. This time of year, temperature is what they are. I mean, 2 months from now, those balls are how much further will they go than what we saw last night?
Well, especially the ones that he's hit to the opposite field because he's had consistent warning track power going to deep right and right center so far on this homestand. And once the weather warms up, those are going out. I mean, those are leaving the ballpark.
Yes.
The one that he hit last night, I can't imagine how much further up that would be. Kind of like Judge in the opener.
Yeah.
I mean, that game that Judge hit, where does that land if it's July?
Oof.
He crushed that.
That'd be up there to the right
but
top
it's a
of those,
perfect transition because what you're talking about is the inning where, again, J.D. Martinez crushed a grand slam 436 feet to center field. And that was with Masahiro Tanaka, the starting pitcher for the Yankees, still in the game and struggling. Struggling. Went deep on Devers, 3-1. Walked Ramirez on four pitches. And at that point, we were 2 hours and 20 minutes into the game. David Price had a tap out, okay, after an inning last night because it was cold. The cold is a factor on some level.
Sure it is.
If you've got a guy who's been pitching for over 2 hours out there, 2 hours and 20 minutes into the game, you can't be sitting there looking at the pitch count being like, oh, he's still got something left in him.
Now the feel changes it the was, ball, the do, everything.
It was obvious.
Yeah.
It was obvious that he was done. He was toast in that inning. And they didn't even have anybody warming up in the bullpen, which was mind-blowing to me. I couldn't believe that. They didn't have anybody up.
Yeah.
He went 3-1 on Devers. He walks Ramirez on four pitches. At that point, it's like, red alert. You got to get somebody up quick. First pitch, grand slam to J.D. Martinez. You're like, oh, well, maybe now we should do something. Maybe we should think. Falling asleep at the wheel. New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone. That guy is not a good manager. Not a good pick by the Yankees to be the guy running that team.
You need to add something to the email of the day.
What do I need to add?
So our gentleman friend from Alabama, forget his name.
Phil.
John Phil. Phil from Alabama said he has a chest like a Ken doll, which is true. It's smooth, meaning Joe Kelly. Jim has frozen the picture as to where the shirt got ripped off. He's looking. Not only does he have no muscle tone to where you could see where one pec starts and where the other one ends, it's just flat.
Well, the guy weighs like 90 pounds soaking wet.
I don't see a nipple. I don't see an Adam's apple. I don't see collarbones.
Kendall.
He may be boneless. Mush, you know, who's the kid who played for the Bruins? Jelly hand. He had to shake his.
Brett Connolly.
Yeah, Brett Connolly. It was rebuilt, right? It's like if you're drawing something on your computer and, you know, you draw the little black line and then you go to the paint can. Oh, there's skin tone paint. You go and you click it on. You fill in that whole area. There's no edging, no definition, no shading. It's just, it's like he has a skin tone shirt on.
What if Joe Kelly is evolved form of Homo sapien? Where it's like,
maybe it's like a shark. Sharks don't have bones. Sharks have all cartilage.
Male humans don't really need nipples, so he shed those.
Snakes
bones, what do bones do? They break. What if you could just replace it all with fibrous tissue and muscle and something that would allow you to walk upright without, fear of breaking? Yeah, I mean, he could be what we're all going to become. That's it. Joe Kelly. Something more than us.
He may be thinner than Clay Buchholz. No, that's impossible. That boy hasn't worked out. I don't know. No working out for him.
How does that throw 100 miles an hour?
You either have it or you don't, dude. It's like these golfers, same thing.
I've scrolled through approximately 500 Joe Kelly pictures just looking for the hint of a nipple poking through a shirt.
No
anything.
Nipples.
I can't find him.
He's nippleless.
He's without nipples. Without nipples. Joe and Revere. What's up, Joe? No, sorry.
I tell you what, another telltale sign would be if he has no belly button. That means he was completely engineered.
He was connected to nothing.
There's no umbilical cord to anything biological.
Pierre and Lowell. Hey, Pierre.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
I think you guys have been a little too harsh on Price. I don't think it was his final decision to come out of the game. I think he's good. I mean, I think he's a competitor. Yeah.
Was it his decision to complain to the training staff when he didn't have an injury? Was that his decision?
Yeah. It had to have been.
All right.
At the end of the day, what I'm saying is it's the manager's decision to take him out of the game. He didn't take
him out. Okay, but what is the manager basing that on?
On walking a guy three times in a row?
He's basing it on what the pitcher is telling him about how he feels.
Right.
He obviously wasn't effective either.
No, that's true. He wasn't effective, which is why he wanted to go home.
Yeah. Are you going to call back when he makes his next start?
I can't hear him.
How many punches did Joe Kelly land last night? Anyone know?
Zero. He landed zero.
Exactly. So.
Oh, that proves. What point does that prove, Pierre?
What point does that prove about David Price?
Speak.
Later, guys.
Oh, you suck, Pierre. Oh, that's so horrible.
Yeah. Hey, Beetle, what are the odds David Price makes his next start?
Oh, I think they're pretty 99.9%.
Pierre won't call back.
The thing with Price, too, is that we were watching the game last night. I said, you know what? He'll settle down. He'll come out and he'll pitch four scoreless after this. He probably won't be able to go much past five because his pitch count is going to be too high.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got rocked in the first inning. Watch, Price going to settle down and he's going to throw strikes and he's going to be able to. It happens. Happens to good pitchers. You know, you have a really bad first inning. He didn't come back out. He was all done. Tapped out.
He couldn't wait to get that underneath. I mean, he went right down.
He was ready to get out of there. Jeremy in Maine. Jeremy.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, real quick, based off of the way Kelly and Vasquez handled themselves, if you watch Vasquez, it looks like he was doing a terrible job of playing dumb. I felt
playing dumb. Vasquez wanted nothing to do with anything.
Well, I thought that it was pretty clear that Kelly must have told Vasquez ahead of time to let Austin come.
Could be. That's an interesting theory. If that's true, then I take back everything I said about Vasquez.
I even like Joe Kelly more then because I want a piece of the nut job. You know what I mean? Like, you know that guy is.
Still, though, as a catcher, this is well established. Your job is to get in the middle of that and stop the guy from going out and crushing your pitcher.
He popped right up.
And if you don't, you need to move on at first base to come across
the Aaron
side
Seeley.
And blow him up.
Move on protecting Aaron Seeley back in the day.
Hit dog.
Who was it, George Bell? Was that George Bell that he took out?
It might have been, yeah.
I think it was George Bell.
Hit dog. Oh, man.
I think it was George Bell maybe when he played for the White Sox, though.
Yeah, it was with the White Sox is when it happened. Mo Vaughn came in and absolutely leveled the dude. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm looking at it now. It's so great.
Vasquez needs to go watch
so
baseball
great.
Fights.
George Bell was hit by a pitch, and he charged the mound. It was Aaron Seeley. Who is on the mound. This brings me right back to really just my favorite days as a Red Sox fan. Right in the middle of all that suck. Ready, Zell?
Yeah.
Ready for this? This is great. Well, Zell will give you the play-by-play live here on the air with George Bell stepping to the plate.
Aaron Seeley, huh? Oh, that one's high. It's almost like that.
He went up and
in. It's just like Joe Kelly.
That's his life.
High tight.
That's his life.
You don't throw that way.
You don't throw that way. That's his life. That's near his head.
He's lucky he got out of the way. Oh, here he comes.
And so, Seeley did the same thing that Joe Kelly did, which is he missed him the first time. So he tries to go after him again. A second time.
How do you miss that bad, though?
Oh, he got him that time, and he hit him up
too
high.
Too.
That's too high.
Way too high.
That's his life. That's his life.
Oh man.
There comes Mo Vaughn. Big Mo. He ain't taking crap from anybody.
It's like Terry Tate, office linebacker. Hi, Janice. Oh, man.
And Seeley didn't want to fight. Seeley didn't want anything to do with that. Oh, there comes Vaughn. Levels a dude.
Is Buggy pulling up?
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand from the Garden. We'll check in with Sean Grandy coming up and continue some Red Sox conversation as well. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day. Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final 10 seconds of a regular season that defied logic and many times defied description. The clock hits triple zeros and the Celtics will put 55 wins in the books in 2018. And as their game comes to an end, who they will meet in the first round of the playoffs, we still have no earthly idea. The final score, Boston 110, Brooklyn 97.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We are live from the Garden today at our Star Market broadcast studio. Joined by the voice of the Celtics and the man you just heard in the final call of last night's game, the regular season finale, Sean Grandy. Hey, Sean.
What's up, guys? Fun time to be in Boston.
We now know it's the Bucks. What do you think of the Bucks?
I think they're very long and very athletic, and Max is inconsolable that his long weekend is now going to be spent in Milwaukee and not Washington or Miami.
It's not a bad town.
I think he's been irrationally concerned about this for about 4 or 5 months now.
He's spoiled,
Sean. Represent the 3 days of his life, and what can I tell you? It's a matter of just snapping him back into focus now that
this, you know, nightmare for him has come true.
Hey, Sean, based on, you know, being locked up at number two and how this thing shook down and what the actual seedings are and sort of the bracket you come out in, fair to say the Celtics may have a shot here to get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Listen, there, if you said before all the insanity happened over the last month, and you said the Celtics are going to end up in a bracket with Washington, Cleveland, and Toronto in the other bracket, you would say, "My, this is a dream come true." And then, obviously, there's a reason it all happened. And, you know, putting aside just what the Celtics are dealing with, what I think nobody wants to accept is that the best team in the NBA over the last month has been Philadelphia. I mean, they're just running over people right now. And, yeah, they're young, and, yeah, it's a whole new experience when you get the playoffs and all that being said. But there comes a point when I think it's difficult to accept reality when it changes. You know, when Golden State was the team that first year when they were winning all the games, people were like, yeah, but you can't really win playing that way. And they were very skeptical because they hadn't been there before. And I think everyone is the same way, not really accepting Philadelphia as being one of the elite teams in the NBA, which they absolutely are. All that said, again, Washington, Cleveland, Toronto being in the other bracket was the dream scenario.
We're talking with Sean Grandy. Sean, how far can this team go?
I think that they, you know, in a perfect world, I'm done doubting them. It's basically the point, because I just watched 82 games of them doing what we thought they could not do and what convention would tell us they could not get done. You know, it's very difficult to break down these series because we've had so little sample size of this Celtics team. All that said, you know, Milwaukee has flaws. They did not have a great year. They did not live up to expectations. Again, Philadelphia and Miami both have – Philadelphia has a lot of experience. And Miami had a very, you know, bumpy road. So could this team get to the conference finals? Absolutely. Would you call them favorites over Milwaukee or have, you know, significant favorite? No. I mean, I think this is pretty much a toss up of a first round series. But the one thing we know is that this team, when they can accomplish what we think they can't, and a great effort and defense and rebounding, which is an effort thing, oftentimes a focus, concentration, and effort thing. Defense and rebounding has been the correlation to them winning all these games this year, and that is still there. They still have their top five rated defensive players available, so that's a pretty good start.
I don't blame you for not doubting them. You know, this coach in a series and how he adjusts from game to game. I keep going back to when people were killing LeBron when they thought, you know, Cleveland was this or that, and the question was posed to him, you know, about, you know, losing a regular season game. Because you're going to ask me about a regular season game. You know, I've been to six straight NBA finals. And I asked Brad Stevens this question yesterday regarding Tatum. Does he have to address him differently or talk to him? He said, yeah, kind of. We have to do that as a staff. Al does, but kids play basketball forever, but it does amp it up at this next level. And do you worry about him making that transition?
I think it's a different animal. I'll never forget the first game in 2002. Celtics missed the playoffs, 6 years in a row. And they played the first playoff game with that Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce group. And we had Antoine on right after, like immediately after the game. There was a look in his eye, like he knew he had just been through something different, that you can't simulate it. A playoff game is a completely different animal. And going back to your, you know, the question earlier about how far can they go, I said it with you, and I've said it from opening night, and even when they were one of the worst teams in the NBA at midseason, they couldn't stop anybody, that I'll believe the Cavs don't get to the finals when I see it taken from LeBron's cold, dead hand. You know, until that day comes, that's when I'll believe it. That said, every learning curve thing that's been thrown at Jason Tatum, even that rookie wall, which hit him two-thirds of the way through the season, he's busted through it. So this is that old remember the Titans cliche about, you know, how you got 12 brothers and sisters, and you know you got to be the head of the family now. And all this is that time. There is nobody else. You know, it's like Kyrie's not walking through that door. So the Celtics have struggled offensively with this group at times during this final month of the season, and someone's going to have to be the go-to guy. And I think a lot of times during these games, it's going to have to be Jason Tatum.
We're talking with Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics. Do you put any stock in the fact that, you know, you said 82 games, right? This team, it gives you a lot of reasons not to doubt them. But the last, I don't know, couple of weeks haven't been great for this team with what is the new Celtics in the small sample. Do you worry about that? Do you worry about the way they've played here the last few weeks?
Well, this is what I would worry about. And I'll say, obviously, the last week was certainly bumpy. And, you know, you had the bad loss at Toronto and the two games that were not good defensively, you know, Atlanta and Washington. But turn back a little bit before that when you had basically the same lineup. I think one of the most remarkable things I've seen this team accomplish in many years was that six-game winning streak, beating OKC, and then going out to the West Coast. These are teams that are very in this ridiculously competitive Western Conference playoff race. Portland and Utah, winning those games on the road. Utah was like 23-3 in their previous 26 games. And this Celtics group, this team, went out to Utah and beat them. And then you come out, and then you beat Toronto pretty handily in the game when you come back. Now, that was an amazing accomplishment. When you're asking what I would be concerned about is that game in Utah, which is one of the most amazing wins of the year when you factor everything in, you go to a zone late in the third quarter and you throw basically a 2-3 zone at Utah. Obviously, it's the last thing they're expecting. It was a way to gimmick it up and steal that game. The kind of things that get you through one game, that won't work in the playoffs when you got the same team over and over and over again. So that is what would concern me, is that it's going to be harder to win games by just making sudden changes and things like that than it would be in a regular year.
All right. All gets going just a few days from now. Celtics and Bucks. That is the matchup. Sean, we'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right. See you, Sean.
Sean Granny joining us on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll send it back to our Town Fair Tire Studios with Hardy, get you caught up on things. And we're right back from the Star Market Broadcast Studios at the Garden. Billy Jaffe joins us at noon. .11:37 Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market Broadcast Studio at TD Garden. Before we get back to your Red Sox calls, there's something worth mentioning in football, not in baseball. Tom Brady on Instagram. This is what we do now. We try to decipher what the Patriots players are doing on Instagram and what it all means. What? Everything okay? Okay. All right. Your microphone's not on. There you go. Tom Brady commented on a post that featured Lamar Jackson. Kid coming out of Louisville. Quarterback. Going to get drafted somewhere in the first couple of rounds of the NFL draft.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean, I would be stunned if he fell outside of the first couple of rounds.
I think it'll be a high pick.
I think it'll be gone before the first round's over. So this is, and I couldn't see in the screen grab, but it's from NFL Network, and they tag Lamar Jackson in it, and it says, could New Era 8 land in New England? And it's openly talking about the possibility of the Patriots taking a look at him. It's a possibility you and I have discussed, so.
Yes, we have.
And it's got a quote in there from Bill Belichick.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. From Bucky Brooks, not on Bill Belichick. He's got a picture
Big
of Bill
difference.
Belichick.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I misspoke. I'm looking at this drawing of Belichick. Like it's a picture, but they make it look a little artistic. You know how they do that?
Yeah.
It says, I believe after watching Deshaun Watson tear up his defense, he said, I want a player like Lamar Jackson. So it's Bucky Brooks talking about Bill Belichick having watched Deshaun Watson last season in Foxborough in their game year. And thought, wow, I like a player like this. I could really use someone who could do the things that this guy does. Deion Sanders.
Yeah, yeah.
He puts a comment on it. About time they get the revelation. And then Tom Brady responds and tags Deion Sanders and says, he's a beast! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
That's a big one. That's four.
With a thumbs up.
Ooh.
Tom Brady saying Lamar Jackson is a beast.
Brady even sought out an emoji?
So my thought is a couple of things. I immediately thought, okay, after all the nice things I've said that I think Lamar Jackson could turn into a real NFL quarterback by working at it, because I think he has the basic ability to do it. Well, I see this and think, oh, he must suck and be no threat to Brady, which is why Brady's doing this. Brady's like, go ahead, draft him. He can't play. So I instantly thought, oh, he must not be any good. And then I had another secondary thought that might take out the first one if true. I thought, is Tom Brady trying to get this guy to sign with Under Armour? Is that at play?
Could be.
Does this guy have a shoe deal yet?
Get ready.
I've looked. I can't find any shoe deals he's got yet.
Get ready. What do you wear in Louisville?
Adidas. Louisville's an Adidas.
Yeah. Not a lot of guys wear Adidas at the next level. It's a big Nike Under Armour. That's the top two.
Yeah, but Adidas pays at Louisville.
Adidas does
learned.
Pay. We know that. I'm sure he has some nice cash.
They pay
that.
Well but he at has, Louisville.
He has no agent, so go right to the source.
Right.
The guy has no agent. You go
oh, yeah, you
smart.
Have to appeal to the guy himself.
And he's a kid.
Which is a bad decision on Lamar Jackson's part, by the way.
I agree.
To it's not have an agent. That is a bad call on his
terrible,
part.
Terrible, because that agent, whoever he would have hired, would have gotten him ready for the Wunderlich score at the Combine, too. He would have coached him up for the Combine. He did not have a good Wunderlich score, even though Belichick doesn't use the Wunderlich test. Some teams do. Some teams put a lot of stock in that because it tells you your ability to think quickly on the fly. Problem solving, all of that. Get ready for Spiethbot, Maz's guy, to also maybe pound this if this is an Under Armour thing. Start to look at the replies from Under Armour guys to think if this is Brady doing his boy Kevin Plank a solid here, former owner of Under Armour. I also thought this. If that commentary is Bill Belichick needs a player like this because he saw Deshaun Watson run crazy all over his defense. Is that Tom Brady doubling down that our defense sucks and we didn't get any better at the end of the year?
Wow.
I mean,
wow, look at take. Scott Zolak.
Give me someone
for
that,
a hot
huh?
one.
Give me someone that.
Reaching for a hot one, kid.
I mean,
whoop.
Because I'm thinking, like, what are you
I think
going on?
Initially jumped the shotgun.
You're going to set the room on fire with that kind of heat.
You started this yesterday, Jim, with your little
Holy
microscope.
Holy smokes.
I'm like, why is he? Oh, so is this a Deshaun Watson angle?
Ooh. I don't see how that connects.
I just connected it, bitch. How about that?
Wow, I would have never gone that far.
This guy's a beast. He can run all over our defense like the other guy did. Maybe we should get some defensive help in the draft instead of drafting a guy that's not going to play because I'm going to play. I don't know.
Wow. Would you have connected those dots, Jim? I wouldn't have, but Zoe just did.
I planted Zippy right there, huh?
No. That's a hot one.
This is what you do when you start overanalyzing every day.
Well, this is all Instagram. We have. We got Instagram. It's the offseason.
This is how this is his official platform, right? He made the big deal. Here's the official signing day. I got the four hats. Here's Facebook. Here's Instagram. Here's Twitter. Which one am I going to pick? Instagram. Bam. This is where we know what Tom Brady thinks. So now we
and he could be, in a way, taking a shot at Bill and his defense. Based on Deshaun, wait a minute. Now you got to think, who's he saying is a beast? Maybe Brady was just talking about Deshaun Watson being a beast.
Maybe he's talking about the revelation being a beast. Because technically,
he is responding to Deion.
During Revelation, the beast does appear during the book of Revelation.
He is talking.
Jesus comes back.
He is talking about Lamar Jackson.
He's talking about the devil.
Who now, with that comment, with that full-blown endorsement of Tom Brady endorsing a kid who's never played a snap in the NFL after pretending to barely know Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 years? Yeah, I think he sucks all of a sudden. Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If Brady's so gung-ho about this kid, is he trying to play the mind trick here on Belichick?
Jedi.
Oh, yeah. No, he's awesome. He's a beast. I want to sign him to a shoe deal, and I hope we draft him because I don't think he can play.
There's no threat. They'll come to me with an extension.
Maybe.
Wow.
Troy is in Dorchester on David Price. Hey, Troy.
How you guys doing?
Good. What up, Troy?
So I was just sitting here thinking to myself, who does David Price remind me of in the sports world? And doesn't he remind you guys of almost like the Red Sox version of an Al Horford, where he's paid a lot of money, so we expect a lot from him? He was the best for us last season when he was coming out of a bullpen kind of playing hero ball. And maybe that's what he needs to do. Maybe he needs to get the ball when we're in a jam, not start the game and put us in the jam, but kind of say, hey, Price, we need you to get us out of this jam so we can win this game. It's all on you, buddy. Maybe that, because him being a starting pitcher doesn't work out well. And I think when he's paid all that money, we expect for him to be an ace starting pitcher, where he's just not an ace starting pitcher. He's a good pitcher. He's a great pitcher, but he's not an ace starter pitcher. In my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, but see, here's your difference. You had to go sign Al Horford to begin the process to lure other talent here to come to Boston to rebuild the Celtics. He was the first rung on the ladder. He's a nice piece. When you signed David Price, that was not a nice piece. You went out and got the best ace available. You broke the bank. That guy pitched his ass off against you down in Tampa. That guy said he wants to throw at Ortiz. That guy told David Ortiz, run, don't walk. There's a big difference, I think, between Price and Horford. Horford's just stuck in the
NBA. I think that's an insult to Al Horford.
No.
Has Al Horford ever tapped out?
No.
Yeah, that's not something you would ever say about Al Horford.
But oddly, I expect more out of David Price. When, why I'm so hard on Price is because I expect more out of Price than I do Horford for what it was billed to be and what I saw him as in a prior. I was ecstatic when they signed Price. Ecstatic. You got a badass here. We had to sit here and listen to, we have five starters.
Yeah.
And you have Clay Buchholz
and company. I think that's worked out well for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Your take on that as far as the comparison to Horford?
Yeah, I think it's unfair to Al Horford.
Wow. That's a real shot at Price.
It's unfair. There are plenty of things
we've said. You don't think much of Price.
There's a lot of things we've said and I've said about David Price that I would never in a million years think to say about Al Horford. Ever.
You take $31
million. He's not a quitter. He's not a...
Become a role player. Maybe come out of the bullpen. Yeah. Plug stop guy. Stop plug guy.
617-779-0985. We're getting ready for Billy Jaffe to come in here at noontime. We've also been rewatching the brawl at Fenway Park last night. There was an element that happened that we did not see on the Red Sox Nesson broadcast, but the cameras on the other side of things, the Yankee broadcast picked it up. We'll touch on that. We'll tell you what it was next.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What was the exchange like immediately after the slide?
I just told him that, well, I probably said something I shouldn't have to start the whole thing. So I'm sorry for that. But I just wanted him to know that it was a bad slide. And I think, everyone on the field knows that it was. And I think he knows that now, too.
Did you expect something to happen after that?
I didn't. I thought it was over. Like I said, we're not trying to fight those guys over there. They're big, so... I wasn't expecting anything to happen. Something did happen, and it escalated quickly.
Brock Holt after the game last night. Red Sox and Yankees get into a brawl. David Price tapped out after an inning. Couldn't take it. It was too cold.
Oh, couldn't sensation.
Couldn't feel his fingertips. Thought it was a little too cold.
You ever get a sensation?
And he gave up four in the first, so he said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
He's all done. One inning. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming. Thanks for playing.
First meaningful outing of the year for him.
Oh, he hasn't given up a run since July. He's been perfect.
My guy.
No runs over the first 14 innings of the year. We're like, all right, looks like he's coming around. Oh, nope. Same old Price. Big game. Real competition.
It's off.
The real competition in your division. The only competition, really, the way this division
is. It's when it matters the most, man. That's how you get judged
here. Your team is literally out there brawling last night, throwing down, and you checked out after an inning.
Their hands probably hurt. I mean, they're out there. Their hands were cold. They probably hurt when they're hitting each other.
The guy who started the second inning, by the way, Bobby Pointer, was placed on the disabled list today. So that's bad news for the Red Sox because he's been one of the reliable guys out of the bullpen. So that's another issue that they're going to deal with. He went to the DL with a hamstring today, as it was announced by the team a short time ago. So there's that to worry about if you're the Red Sox going forward. Zoe, you brought up a good point earlier. If there was a team that needed the rallying point of everything that went down last night, it probably wasn't the Red Sox.
Yeah.
It was the Yankees. They'll benefit from this more. Red Sox have won 9 in a row.
Yankees looked dead the other night. Absolutely dead the other night. Not to say that this is the reason they won that game last night, because it wasn't. But everybody's on alert. Now your head's on a little bit of a swivel. Even the manager. Wake up.
So this is the thing that the cameras caught on the YES Network, but not on Nesson. Cora, at the end of all this, with it looks like Boone and Nevin are still out of the dugout. and they're yelling at the umpires after everything had transpired there last night. And I know that they had to warm up a pitcher to get someone in the game as Kelly got ejected, but did it not seem like it took a long time for them to start playing baseball again?
Yeah.
Oh, in what is already a four-hour affair when they play these games. So Boone and Nevin are on the field, and Cora's on the top step of the Red Sox dugout.
Like three umpires around him.
Telling them to go home, basically.
No, but he's, yeah.
Go home.
I think.
Go back to your dugout.
I think.
What are you doing? He's waving at them to get back in their dugout. It's great.
He's doing the circle, and I think that's the group that's out there. And then he's going this to them. I think he's telling Nevin, get the hell out of here.
You can see him mouth Nevin.
Nevin.
The word Nevin.
He's going to Nevin.
And he's looking at Nevin.
Hey, and Nevin's the one that pushed Vasquez out of the way.
Nevin really wanted to be involved, didn't he?
He took Vasquez out of the picture.
It looks like he may be telling Nevin, there's a circle there, and you're not in it, which is the umpires and Aaron Boone.
Leave it to Boone and the umpires.
That are talking.
Look.
Yeah, Nevin. He goes, Nevin. He's like, and he's waving him back to his dugout, you fool.
Like, circle,
get back in your dugout.
Circle is good. Nevin in middle, you out.
Fuckers.
I mean,
yes, circle of trust.
Circle of trust, and Phil Nevin's not in it.
I like Cora.
Phil Nevin. You said Nevin was a former number one overall pick? Is that right?
I think he had like a baseball card, him being like a number one or number two overall pick.
What is he?
Long time ago. Looks like early 90s, maybe, late 80s.
He looks 6'4".
He's a big boy.
6'5".
I bet he would hurt if he got a hold of you.
He swallowed up Vasquez after Vasquez adjusted his helmet.
He's 6'2". He's 6'2". Phil Nevin is 6'2".
6'2"?
He's not to be messed with.
What the hell is Vasquez?
He's 6'2" and angry. 6'2".
Go back and watch the video. Watch the video of him just take Vasquez right off screen.
I'm going to look that up. We got to find out if that's true. Or if that's
Jim
how you remember
that.
It.
Jim would know that. Jim's good.
Yeah, 1992.
'92?
Yep.
First overall pick, '92. All right.
Now look at that guy and look at me. Who's older? That's
Nevin
my year.
Is, he's not that much.
That guy looks like he's 70.
He's 47.
Wow.
Phil Nevin.
I look older. I look younger than Phil Nevin, don't I?
How long did he play? I feel like he played a long time, didn't he? 12 years. That's pretty good. 12-year career. 617-779-0985. Dan is in Attleboro. Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, I was at the game last night. That was awesome. I thought we were going to come back after J.D. Martinez at that grand slam. I thought we were going to pull out a miracle. But something that really bothers me is when the Red Sox are losing 8-2, fans need to stop chanting Yankees suck.
It's been going on for a while. I heard that the other night, too, just constantly. I even tweeted it. What are they chanting?
Well,
just to be a dick.
Can I scratch another itch from last night?
Yeah.
Andrew Benintendi pregame.
What's his problem?
With this stare down, Jordan Montgomery and Andrew Benintendi doing the stupid national anthem staring contest where you stay out there as long as you possibly can.
Was this a heavyweight fight?
I don't know.
Is this new?
No, it's not new. Is this part of the new fun bunch thing? No, it's been going on in college baseball for a while.
Really?
It's like a gimmick, a little joke. Oh, neat. No, you're paid.
Dog. Never
you get
dog
paid now, fellas.
This goes back to they have too much downtime in baseball.
This is now your job. You're here to compete. You're not here to be friends with everybody or make a mockery of the stare down during the end. Just stop it, you children. Will you just get in your dugouts and get ready for the game? This is Red Sox Yankees is what this is. That annoyed me for some reason. And then in the context of the night, it looks even dumber. What are you doing with these guys? Those aren't your friends over there.
Heard he's prickly from people. Just behind the scenes.
I don't care what he is.
I know that, but Randy Moss was the greatest player in the world.
And the umpires had to go over and tell both sides. You're acting like a bunch of jackasses. Yeah. Get in the dugout. We're trying to play a game here tonight, fellas. Oh, I'm going to have a stare down. Oh, who's going to look at each other? Who's not going to react? Who's going to last the longest?
You're laughing at love.
How much longer are we going to last? I'll stand here all night.
I'll stand here all night if I have to.
I didn't know this happened. 2013, Joe Kelly and Scott Van Slyke did this before game 6 of the NLCS, 12 minutes.
I love Kelly.
This is 5 years ago?
Kelly's my new hero.
Yeah, it's not new. It's not a new thing. It's not new.
Is it a contest?
Yeah, it's a contest.
It is.
Yay. I did it for 12 minutes. Woo. Isn't that so funny, guys?
Yeah, it's funny. Benintendi not playing, right?
I stood there like an idiot for 12 minutes.
Pitchers or positional players that aren't playing? Is it your job to do the stare down?
Oh, it's such a waste. What are you doing? Oh, Mark in the car. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, Beetle, this morning I heard you say that you had no problem with the slide. You thought it was harmless or not warranting a fight or something like that.
I didn't think it was that bad, but I... What?
I can't disagree with you more. He came in cleat high at his...
I didn't say I had no problem with it. First of all, you're not properly relaying what I said.
I didn't think it was
so bad that the slide in and of itself warranted getting hit. I also think that he did it with the full intention of spiking Brock Holt. So Brock Holt had every right to turn around and ask him why he did it. I think there was intent there. I think that he was trying to spike him. So I understand why Brock Holt would say to him, "What is that? What are you doing?" It was not a double play ball. I think people have said, "Oh, it's a good hard slide." It is if there's a double play happening there. That was not a double play ball.
Yeah.
So it was a dirty slide. But it was not the most egregious, most awful, dirty play I've ever seen. It's far from it. And I never said harmless. I definitely didn't say that.
Guy's been a ball player for a long time. Because that hurts. That's not where you slide.
You just don't need to kick the leg out 3 feet to your left.
Sorry, man. Hit a wild slide there.
And go in as late as you did. What are you breaking up? You're not breaking anything up there.
And slide over the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not breaking up a double play. If there was a double play being made there, and if they had a shot to turn two there, I get it. I get what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're trying to break it up. And part of that ruling last night, when they went and looked at it, the crew chief wanted to go look at it, they ruled that it didn't. The new rule about sliding into second didn't apply because it wasn't a double play. Mm. And he was not trying to. The rule that they have in place now is designed. I heard Wakefield blaming the umpires and blaming the rule after the game last night. I mean, talk about two guys that had really had hours to prepare for what they wanted to say about the fight and had nothing to say when they opened up post-game last night. I hate the rule. I hate the umpires. What does that have to do with it? How about you tell me who was right and who was wrong? Yeah. Who you thought was, you know, overreacting and not? A waste of time that was. So, where was I? Now I'm losing my train of thought.
You're talking about the next post-game.
Yeah, that, but before that.
Oh.
No. The rule didn't apply. It was about the rule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't a double play. So that's why that rule didn't apply, which should tell you that the rule may need some tweaking. Yes, that might be necessary if your intent is to protect guys from getting hit or getting spiked or any of those things. But they're saying that protection only applies to guys at the bag when they're trying to turn the double play.
Is this going to make you peek earlier tonight with the Bruins being on that maybe some shenanigans will go on in game three between them? See, I don't think they are. I don't think either side has the balls to go out and continue this tonight.
No, because suspensions are already an issue for what happened last night.
They're going to get talked to and warned.
Yeah. Well, the Red Sox are done. If the Yankees want retribution, it's going to be the Yankees.
But as the – right, exactly. But as, you know, we heard Jerry Remy say last night, he said there's a lot of baseball left between these two teams, and you might see something now come back around the next series when they will inevitably be warned
at home
by Major League Baseball.
For the Yankees, I do it at home. Yeah. Always better to do it in front of your home crowd.
Yeah, really good.
Get the place going.
Yeah!
Sell beer.
Billy Jaffe's standing by. He will join us
after
these headlines to talk some hockey.